sin. However, or whatever form a sin is in, whether it is big or small, apparent, visible or hidden, punishment is attached. And stench is attached, Allah Ta'ala's displeasure is attached, and punishment is attached to the sin. And the biggest factor is that Allah Ta'ala's displeasure is attached to sin. To this extent, that as much as a person's limit, you could say, can be implemented to leave and stay away from sin, a person should try to do that. Only that person in the Akhirah, in the hereafter, will attain falah, success. Only that person will attain success is that person who has left sins during life in this world. We need to leave sins here and now in this world before death. There is no situation or case that after death we can shun the sins. We have to leave the sins here and now in this place on planet Earth whilst we are alive. There are many sins that are common today. We don't consider them as sins, but they are big sins. Very big sins indeed. And if we look at all the sins, amongst them is one sin which is so common today, maybe only very few people are saved from this sin today or avoid. Peer, Fakir, Sufi, Dhakir, Shakir, everyone's involved in this, you could say, or maybe practicing this. And that sin is backbiting, ghibat. That all sins are impure, but this is a dirty sin. It is an extremely impure and dirty sin, backbiting. And it's so impure and dirty that an individual doesn't know at that time when he's backbiting that what a big sin is being implemented at that time. And the person at that time is occupied in punishment, whilst the person is backbiting. And we have to ask the question that how can we save ourselves from this sin? That how do I leave this sin, save myself from this sin, stay away from this sin? A few points I would like to present to you. Insha'Allah, if we do amal on these points, if we act on these points, then we can be saved from implementing backbiting, from practicing backbiting. The first point, in order to stay away from the sin of backbiting, or to be saved from carrying out backbiting of another person, or any sin, the first point to understand is that the human being should turn his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should request Allah and do dua and request sincerely that Allah Pak, this is a dirty sin, an impure action. I want to be saved from this action. I want to run away from this action. I'm impure. I'm weak. I'm in a weak environment. Allah, give me strength. Give me your assistance and help. Because it's difficult for me to leave this sin. This is the first factor that needs to be implemented and recognized. Why? Because here we make the intention that we want to leave the sin. If we don't have the intention, then we won't carry out the action. Take worldly actions. Yes, if I don't intend that I want to eat, then will I cook? Of course not. If I don't intend to eat, then I won't cook food. If I have an intention I want to drink tea, then I'll make the tea. If I don't intend to drink tea, then I won't make the tea. If I have the intention, then I'll get up and I'll make the tea. So the basic factor, the underlying factor of leaving a sin, an impure action, is that we need to make the intention and have the desire and request, Allah, I want to leave this sin. First thing is what? Step number one? Intention. Allah, make an intention. Because after intention, which is step number one, is step two, to ask Allah for help. First make the intention. And then what do we do physically after we make the intention? Then we'll carry out the physical step in order to annihilate and eliminate that sin. That Allah Ta'ala, for example, you can pray 2 rak'ah salah, you can just do dua as normal, you can do tasbihat for istighfar, you can strengthen your vows and intention that Allah, I want to leave this sin. I want to leave this sin. And from this, what happens? Alhamdulillah, that Allah Ta'ala's assistance and help will immediately start. Allah will start to send His help and assistance to that human being. Remember, when a person asks for Allah's help, and it's not this, that if a person asks for Allah's help and Allah doesn't help, it cannot be impossible. Impossible that Allah's assistance is sought and it is not delivered. Allah looks at the intention, the niyyah, the sincerity. Allah looks inside that. How much percentage does He desire? And the amount of percentage points of our niyyah, according to that proportion, Allah Ta'ala's help will come. It's not difficult. Remember this. Remember this. Okay, fine. 2 points discussed. Now what's the third factor that needs to be implemented to leave sin? Sin is that the consequences of sin, for example, backbiting. Now the consequences, the punishments that are attached to backbiting, it's obvious, they're there. There's no such learning or educational matter that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not told us, or that Allah Ta'ala has not told us. He's told us the education and the punishment and the consequences. So when the individual is getting close to sinning, then he should start to think about the punishments that Allah Ta'ala has set aside or attached to that specific sin. That how big punishments there are for carrying out this sin that I'm about to do. How can I actually even think that I'm okay doing this sin? For backbiting, when a person starts to backbite, then he should think straight away. What is the punishment for backbiting that I am natting away, gossiping away, or I'm about to start chit-chatting? There are big punishments attached to this. Very big punishments attached to backbiting. First thing we need to see is that interest to consume or to be involved with interest is such a big sin. Whoever consumes interest, it is as if he has done zina, adultery with his mother 70 times. In the hadith is stated that backbiting is worse than that zina. Imagine within seconds where a person reaches to the pits. When a person's sinning, he's in that condition. He's in that condition. Anyone, you cannot backbite against anyone, your enemy, somebody you dislike, whoever. The reason why was Allah's put and attached a big, massive, massive punishment to backbiting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the consequences of sins during the journey of Mi'raj. That look, when we backbite, what will be the punishment and where will we be? The person who's backbiting, you should think, she or he, where am I stood at this moment in time? Think. What will be the hal of that person who backbites? At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown a group of people, ajeeb, unique form of punishment, that they were lying down or hanged upside down. Upside down. Yes, those men and women, they were hanging upside down in the pit of fire of Jahannam, and they're being roasted and they're screaming and screeching. And they're in a bad state. They're burning. They're hanging upside down into the pit of cauldron of hellfire. In Jahannam, there are ajeeb and unique forms of punishment that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran and other places that we learn. When a man or woman does a sin, their hal, their condition is such that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will throw that person in Jahannam, the fire. Who's going into Jahannam is bad enough. If that person's thrown into Jahannam, then Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that such a hot water will be put onto the head of that person. And when that water will be thrown onto the head of that person, then his stomach will explode, and all of the intestines will come out. Allah Ta'ala is describing the defining. And then that person will shriek and scream and run, and the angels will be standing there and they'll push him back into that fire. And this will continue, multiply, continue, repeat and repeat. So if we think about these punishments, that I have reached to the position of extreme punishment in sin. So a man's hanging upside down in the cauldron of Jahannam, and he's being burnt. For what reason? For what reason? We need to ask ourselves and think, and we need to ponder. Allah's mentioning in the Quran the punishment for a sin. When a person backbites, then he is consuming the flesh of his real brother. He is consuming the flesh, the meat of his real brother. He's eating it at that time whilst he is backbiting. Rasulullah ﷺ practically demonstrated this. There were women who came and Rasulullah ﷺ said that vomit, put your fingers down your throat, and they vomited and flesh, pieces of flesh came out of their throat, their mouths. And Nabi ﷺ said, you've backbited, you consumed the flesh of your fellow colleagues. So this is the punishment. Remember this, brothers. Remember this, everybody. As Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased him, he described the punishment of backbiting, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a qawm, a group of people, when he was on the journey, and he saw that dead people who had, with the smell coming from their body, decaying bodies. Allah knows best that the decaying, deceased bodies in Jahannam, what they'll be like, severe smell. In the hadith is stated that the smell of the person who backbites, the smell that comes from his mouth, imagine the stench coming from the mouth of the backbiting person is so bad that if the smell from the mouth of the backbiting person was to come from the sky to the earth, then the whole of the population on the earth living would fall unconscious. Hey, Allah Ta'ala has put veils between our sins and reality, grand reality. We have wrapped up everything and think that nothing's there. Everything is inside us that we do. It's there. It's there in reality. Everything's present. The consequences of hadith is what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran. The first and foremost Allah has said, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That this Quran, whoever doesn't have certainty in this Quran cannot be correct. He cannot be right if he doesn't have yaqeen in the words. And today I say, oh, I feel like doing this and that, X, Y, Z. We start talking passionately. And I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to give my life for this. And that. After giving your life, where are you going to go? You've got time now. You can correct yourselves now. If we improve ourselves now, that's good enough for us. That's what we do while we're living. While we're living, look at our life, society. How many people are backbiting in society today? Forget about thinking about other things, and we are consuming the flesh of deceased people of Jahannam. Rasulullah said, who are these people? He saw them, these dirty and pure people, and it was stated that these were those people who backbited on the earth. Backbited. Ghibat. So when these consequences will be in front of us, I'm just mentioning a few learnings, just sharing a few learnings, not everything. Imagine our hal, our condition at that time, when the punishments of backbiting will come in front of us. Now we come to this point or to this status or platform, a big deception comes into it, that I do ibadah, I worship, I pray, I'm striving, and I do thousands of different recitations. Allah gives tawfiq to all of us. Ramadan, I recite Quran 10 times over, I pray taraweeh salah, I pray tahajjud, I do dhikr adhkar, and this sin for me is nothing, nothing. It's okay, maybe sometimes I do this sin. We don't understand the magnitude of this sin. Listen to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment, on the day of qiyamah. Yes, all of the deeds will be brought by a person and he'll present them to Allah. We will also be there. And I'll say, oh, I've got all the deeds under the sun. I've done khairat, given sadaqah, charity. I was a goodwill person. I used to help people. And I'll go there full of hope. And I'll be presented in the court of Allah. And I'll be in front of Allah. And I'll be happy. And I'll have nothing to my name. Nothing. Empty box. And I'll be shocked, looking left and right, that I did many good deeds in the world. And these were recorded. I did this many hajj, I did this many umrah. And if someone asked me, how many hajj did you do, brother? And I say, you know, I can't remember now, I've lost count. So many times I've put it in the diary. So where have those hajj and umrahs gone? Where will they be? And he'll say, eventually, Allah, I did so much in the world. I was recognized. I'm looking at my pot of deeds, my bag of deeds. I can't see my deeds. The sheet is blank. Listen to this hadith. Listen to this hadith. Listen carefully, Allah will say, I know, the angels know, you did many deeds, they saw you, they witnessed that, you thought you are muttaqi and fearful of Allah and a haji and you pray salah and a razi and X, Y, Z. And he'll say, Allah, where are my deeds? Where have they gone? Allah will say that your deeds have disappeared. You eliminated them yourself. I didn't do this, Allah will say. He'll say, Allah, how did I burn off my deeds myself and waste them? Allah will say, how? You're asking me? Allah will say that you used to backbite and your deeds were finished. They were extinguished. Your backbiting extinguished all your deeds. You have no deeds left to your name. The angels will be ordered, grab hold of him and throw him into the hellfire and give him the punishment of the backbiting that he did. So instead of, despite getting rewards for the deeds, he'll be given punishment for his backbiting. Tell me, what a big sin. Is it not a big sin? Is it not a massive sin? Massive magnitude. Look, all sins, that person does astaghfar, he does tawbah, repent, sins are forgiven. But ghibat, backbiting, is not forgiven from tawbah, by repenting. Tell me, isn't this even worse now, the scenario? After backbiting, a person's trapped in the net, how will he be forgiven? Tell me, how? We need to ask ourselves. You have to go to that individual who you backbited against, put your hands together, plead. I backbited against you, please forgive me. And if he says, I'm not going to forgive you, that I'll do this, or I'll take revenge, etc. It can happen. So a person needs to analyze all his deeds. And us, alhamdulillah, we individuals, our brothers and sisters who are learning and progressing, alhamdulillah, they're doing tazkiyah, and individuals, they fill in their sheets. It's a great job that Allah Ta'ala's, a duty, a task that Allah Ta'ala's making you do. And Allah has accepted your deeds and your efforts, and you are good people, mashallah, subhanallah. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows His rahmah to descend onto people, and people think, oh, you know, it's okay, I've sinned a few times, I'm okay. Look at the story. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam came, everyone's laughing, what's this boat he's constructing, this ship? What are you doing? And it's on the mountain, a ship? What's he doing? In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His rahmah, with His mercy, time to time, Allah ta'ala presents scenes in the world after which a person can learn and save himself. Today, is it an easy thing to be saved from these sins? And if it's not easy, then tell me, which man is there that without leaving the sin, can he be saved? If he doesn't even have the niyyah, intention to leave his sin, like I gave you the example before, he doesn't even have the intention to make a tea, to drink tea, how will he make the tea? He won't. Will he? If you're not drinking tea, you say, I didn't intend. So if a person intends to do something, then he'll carry out the actions to implement that action. So how will a person leave sin if he doesn't intend? In his heart, he doesn't have the appreciation or the importance of leaving sin. So for that person, these second, third factor that I mentioned, the third point, that the consequence is the punishment of sin, put it in front of you. When you backbite, put the scene in front of you. What will happen due to my backbiting? That I will not get anything in the hereafter. All these deeds I'm carrying out in this world, these are the words of the hadith. Don't fall into delusion that I am backbiting and it's okay, I do so many amal and deeds and worship. No, totally not. Will be worthless, wiped away. I'll tell you another hadith. That we're talking about amal. Let's talk about iman now, belief. The Prophet ﷺ said that, look at this tree. You see this tree? There are dry leaves on these branches of this tree. And when the wind comes, the gust of wind, and the branches, they will move. And all these branches and twigs will be empty. The leaves will fall off the tree. The example of, was given by Rasulullah to his Sahaba. And then Rasulullah said, when a person backbites, then his iman becomes so weak and free from the deeds or goodness, just like this tree, it loses the leaves. And the same way that person's iman becomes extremely weak after backbiting. So this is my brethren. We need to think about this. May Allah forgive. We need to look at ourselves, analyze. Our deeds will not benefit us. Our iman will disappear, wither away. Such a big sin. This is backbiting. Tell me, Allah is displeased extremely from this action. Because when it becomes common, then a person says, oh, everyone else is backbiting. So what difference does it make if I backbite? I saw this brother, these people, he was a big shot, pious person. He sat in a gathering, he was backbiting, and then he gets encouraged. I can do that. But Allah Ta'ala does not differentiate. Allah Ta'ala does not differentiate in this way. Allah Ta'ala said Himself that I will recognize the individuals from taqwa. If you have taqwa, then Allah says, then I will measure you at these deeds, this worship, this action, this good deed, this gesture, whatever you did in the world for the sake of Islam, for the sake of deen. But if you don't have taqwa, fear of Allah, then everything else will disappear. So don't fall into deception. Allah says the shaitan has influenced us today, whispered in our ears, and our system of life, our routine of life should be in accordance to Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and what He has ordained, and not our desires and opinions. So the third factor was what? To leave the sins. These are a few points that I've shared with you. There are many other punishments and ill effects of backbiting. The person who backbites is in that condition continually, continuously has nothing, nothing, no deeds to his name, empty box, empty person, empty at that time. And further, if we go further, the person who backbites and the person who's listening to backbiting, the person who's listening to backbiting, he says, I'm not backbiting, I'm just listening. He is included. He's the same. Because his punishment is he's sitting in that company where rubbish is spoken. Who told you to go and sit in that company of futile talk, wasteful talk, bone idle talk? So it's not just backbiting that we have to abstain from. We need to also abstain from listening to someone else backbiting. And if you're trapped in that gathering where backbiting is taking place, then try to stop that person. Come on, stop this. Let's change the subject. Let's change the subject. Move on to something more beneficial. Oh, what happened that person? What was he doing? What did he say? Oh, did distract that person's attention. Oh, it's cold nowadays, isn't it? Change the topic so that that person's mindset changes and he stops sinning. And we are also safe from listening to the backbiting. And if you've got a bit of courage, say to him clearly that, look, you're committing a sin and you're involving me and including me. And the third thing, if you can't do that, is immediately leave the gathering. But we don't do this. Oh, he'll feel bad. You are displeasing Allah and that person's reaching to Jahannam. Oh, my uncle will be unhappy, or my friend, my colleague, my ustad sahab. If I stop him and tell him he's backbiting, he'll be unhappy with me. Oh, we're not aware that Allah's unhappy. So extreme case, get up and leave that gathering because a sin is taking place. Allah is watching. Zina, worse than zina, worse than interest, riba, a person who is backbiting, many sins, I told you, that person is immersed in the sin, in the stench from his mouth when he's backbiting, no one can even sit next to him, the smell is extreme, and that smell is sealed in our bodies nowadays. So, for example, if you have bad breath, extreme bad breath, you say, oh, it's alright, I can't help it, I've got bad breath, you can smell it. No, that for example, a person says, okay, I don't want to hear the backbiting. You're saying wrong. You don't want to listen. Okay, then leave that gathering. Leave that gathering where backbiting is taking place. Now, I can't sit all the time and also include myself in the punishment. No. Don't put yourself in danger. So the person who backbites and those who are listening and enjoying and partaking are all included in the sin. They're all included. So brothers, my colleagues, let's understand the gravity of this sin, the magnitude of this sin, and the consequences of this and the punishments, and ask for Allah's help. And just like Allah Ta'ala has given us a chance time and time again, we see, you see yourselves, that mashallah, our dhikr majlis is happening, we attend that, we pray salah, and we do dhikr, and we tick the boxes. But when it comes to backbiting, then we fail. Those who with the fadl and karam, the grace and mercy of Allah, who are doing the tazkiyah program, then those who are doing that, I have total yaqeen and certainty that inshallah they will come out of that sinful state if they are sincere, totally. And those who are not implementing this system, they are thieves. They have no link that they want to do tazkiyah and prove themselves. They are living in their own dunya, wasting time, and they haven't accepted the offer of Allah. They haven't. They don't know that in akhirah they just want dunya, mal, wealth, money. They don't know what is backbiting, what is lying. And they say, oh, this is masla. If I don't do this, then how will I succeed? If I don't backbiting, how will I please people in the world? I don't know which hal that person is standing in extreme sin. If Allah was to expose and show to that person, illustrate to that person, if Allah was to just break the veil and allow him to smell the stench of his backbiting for a second, that person, he or she would realize, which is, it is revolving inside our bodies, that stench. And nobody, nothing can stop us except ourselves. We need to stop ourselves. So brothers, fulfill and implement the sheet system, the tazkiyah sheet system. Allah has given us a great, brilliant and fantastic system of the tazkiyah sheets, the monitoring sheets, the tracking sheets. And these sheets aren't just for recording salah. Real objective is to shun the sins. The person who steps forth towards this program, the tazkiyah program of self-improvement, Allah will realize that this person wants to be improved. He wants to improve himself. He's sincere. Otherwise, this is the sunnah ilahi, the sunnah of Allah. The person who doesn't embrace Allah's rahmah, then he has a severe and horrible death. And no ibadah will benefit that person. No worship will benefit a person who has sins. That you do dhikr, come into the majlis. Nothing will assist the individual. Allah's law is law established and it's permanent. Yes, that's why Allah gives us chances time and time again. They have courage, determination. Leave the sin. Leave the sin. One day, inshallah, that person will improve himself. So without doing, we cannot succeed. And the fourth factor is that we should implement the tazkiyah sheets program. What benefit do I get from this? I don't get any benefit, do I? Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. I'm not tight. I'm not restraint. There's no burden on me. Allah, may Allah take more work from me. From every piece of flesh of my body, I will assign it for the work of the deen, for Islam. I will assign myself my efforts. And the greatest thing is that my shaykh gave me the hukm, the order. He instructed me to do the work of the deen. My shaykh said to me, you have a link with me spiritually. I instruct you to do this work, this good work of improving people. My shaykh explained to me and gave me this work of the deen to do. So I embraced his hukam, and Allah Ta'ala is pleased when a student embraces the instruction of the teacher. So it's not that I'm favoring you or you owe me a favor. No, I'm here for your service, at your service. But I am sad that those individuals who don't embrace this tazkiyah sheet system, they are totally summum bukumun umyun. I don't know what they think. The doors are open for them and shaitan has slammed the door in their face. The door is open from Allah and shaitan slams it. That if a person can follow the sheets tracking system of the sins, I give guarantee to the greatest of individuals, whoever they are, whatever line, career path of Islam they're following, come to me and do this 40-day chilla of the sheet system, then I'll accept that you are correct. Shaitan has embraced them and surrender them. You are theirs, you are high status, you are esteemed individual. No. The sin, it makes a person, demotes a person to the ground. Look, take the wazir, the prime minister, the leader, president. If he is caught as the thief, then does he have anything left in terms of respect and honor? His respect and honor is rubbed into the dirt. He used to sit in palaces, he had fleets of cars, but he's gone to jail. Why? Because he was a thief. This is the map of the world, the sketch of the world. Allah will say, you say to Allah, I had this, I worshipped you. Just like the person in this world who's been locked up. In the same way, then when we are criminals of Allah, then what will elevate us in the hereafter? Will Quran elevate me? The hadith? My knowledge of Quran and hadith, my ilm, my knowledge. If I am disobedient to Allah, then everything will be drowned in the water of all my deeds and my knowledge because I am disobeying Allah. So the cure is what? What should a person do? Have determination, courage, work hard. Allah has given us this program of tazkiyah sheets, monitoring and tracking our sins. And those who are not monitoring themselves, who aren't implementing the sheet system, they're lazy because they haven't put importance on the system. Yes? Yes, they are drowning in their sins, and their deeds are also drowning, and they're immersed in punishment. Allah has given assistance, a shade, the sheets tracking system, the tazkiyah program. We should take hold of it, embrace it, implement it. So if the question arises, then how do we save ourselves from backbiting? Then we've got the solution. First is what? Step number one, intention. Intention, oh, I need to leave this sin, it's bad. Number two, ask Allah Ta'ala for help. Assistance. Allah, I want to leave this sin. I need your help. Factor number three. Step number three. The punishments of sins. Put them in your mind at all times. That these sins I'm about to do, these are the punishments for these sins. Step number four. Factor number four. SubhanAllah has given this to us. Is to embark on a great step. A great program of Allah has mentioned in the Quran. About dhikr Allah. His remembrance. Dhikr Allah. Remembrance of Allah. A person who does dhikr, alhamdulillah, if he has nisbat connection with a sheikh, a teacher, then his nafs becomes weak. Allah Ta'ala makes shaitan weak. For those people, when they step forth towards goodness and do the tazkiyah, then they can leave the sins. I've seen on the sheets, first time the sheets came, cross, 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 cross on the sins. Second time they came, there was improvement. I see that the 40 days, there was no cross for the sin program, the sins sheet. So they passed. And what is this? This is the system, self-improvement. It is iterative improvement system. Allah says you do dhikr, your heart is strengthened, your ruh, your soul is strengthened. And such a great massive result of success for the individual, that a person is being saved from the sin. The 40 days repeatedly he did not backbite that brother or sister, man or woman, against any other individual in the earth. On the earth. Is this a small thing? So a very effective system is this program. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr and tazkiyah. Remembrance of Allah. So follow this system inshallah. And this is a great, great system. Backbiting is wretched. And there are other sins. And we should also detach ourselves from those sins. Don't feel that you've passed this test and succeeded. I'm telling this to myself. That don't just hope on your deeds. Because the hadith has stated, your deeds will become zero, your qualities will fall to the ground. So work harder on leaving the sins. May Allah Ta'ala save us all from the sins. Ameen.